during a season? Like, how do you start the communication with them, and how do you get them to kind of understand what, you know, everyone else through weeks of training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part is just welcoming them to the group. You know, you have some familiarity with who they are as players, having scouted them and prepped to play against them, but you try to get to know them and try to understand how they view themselves also. And then as far as bringing them into the fold with our group, you try to keep it pretty, you know, high level and simple to start. Don't want to overload them in the very beginning. There's a lot to be dealt with in their lives right now. They're moving, they're trying to learn not just a new playbook, but they're trying to learn new teammates, new coaches, new support staff. There's a lot of it that goes into, you know, being a part of a pro organization and team. So try to start slow, but trying to start to build the relationship with them in terms of who they are as people, and how they view themselves as players.
A couple of quick availability questions. Do you plan on playing Nurkic tonight?
Do I plan on playing Nurk?
Or I guess start. Let's say starting Nurk.
No.
Okay. And then Keontae, kind of saw him warming up, but just kind of how is he progressing with the spring?
He's doing okay. It's still day to day, as most ankle things are when you're a dynamic athlete like Keontae is. So much of his game is dependent on change of direction, start stop, and being explosive. I think he's getting close.
Coach, we've kind of seen some of the ebbs and flows of Flip's season this year. In last game, 16 rebounds. What are you looking for as a coach for him to kind of just hit those moments in the game where he is a little more aggressive and kind of in that way?
Yeah, his role has changed a lot as the season has moved. Circumstance has probably kept Flip from getting in the best rhythm possible for him. You know, there's a lot of things that a lot of decisions that are made where you're trying to help the team and trying to do what's best for the team, and sometimes that means individuals have to make some sacrifices. You know, I'm very aware of the fact that Flip plays with a lot of different lineups. His role is different night to night. Positionally, there are moments where we're playing him as a five and really he's more of a four. But I do think that he's doing a better job of executing the foundational things, especially defensively. Offensively, I think, you know, rhythm is hard when your role changes a ton. You're getting a variety of different shots. You're touching the ball in different parts of the floor. I think he's handled all that really well. I think he's had plenty of good games, but when he's felt a little bit off kilter, you know, that's probably more of my fault than Flip's fault.
This time of year, when there's so much movement, look at players good enough nowadays where they should be able to fit in the system, and then they get that talent and that skill that they should be able to fit in the system.
I think there's a lot of similarities when you're a role player. Second side of actions, playing off closeouts, making quick decisions. You see, you know, quote unquote role players being asked to do similar things in a lot of different systems in terms of catch and shoot. Can you make plays and decisions off of like two dribbles or less on a closeout? I think those things translate pretty well. I think especially guys that are more veteran have played with different types of players. Some guys have played under multiple coaches. I think there's more of an adaptability there. Really unique star players in our league can tilt a style of play and can make the role maybe feel different. But I do think there are some sort of core similarities that go into being an NBA player these days as it relates to how you function on both sides of the ball if you're not somebody that's getting a lot of plays called for you. So, I think that doesn't mean that you expect perfection when they first start, that there are still changes.
Quinn just called Jalen Johnson one of the best half-court passers in the NBA with that season.
see over everything. I think almost something like 24 of the 30 teams now have primary ball handlers, like 6'7 or 6'8. Like, how much is that just where we're going, and how much of an advantage is it to be a 6'8 ball handling pass, you know, big size? It doesn't have to be 6'8, but you get my point.
Yeah, I think it's a huge advantage. I think we've seen it over the last 8 years. When you look at the elite passers in our game, it's the ability from really any part of the half court to get the ball everywhere, especially the passes over the top, like skip passes to the corner that generate long closeouts, whether that's a catch and shoot three or the ability to play off the bounce versus a defender that's coming at you from a long distance. I think it is a huge advantage. It doesn't mean that there aren't smaller players in our league who are great passers, but you know, you're seeing more switching defensively. You're seeing some teams play lineups that it's hard to tell who's what position when they're trying to switch and use their length and athleticism defensively. And so you have to be able to make plays over the top. Passing the ball through windows is possible, but it's, you know, in the NFL, they talk about like a shorter quarterback. It's like it's possible to throw it through windows, but it's also easier if you can just throw it over the top. So I don't want to take anything away from some of the smaller playmakers, but it's definitely an advantage if you're 6'8".
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.